This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Hi guys, it's me, Harriet Rose. It's FUBAR Radio. You're tuning in just after 4 o'clock. It's lovely to have you back. It's been a great week. The sun is shining. I'm feeling very happy today. We've got some wicked guests. Vic Santoro is about to come in the room in a little minute. Frank Turner is having a chat with us later. And we've got some super exciting guests because John, who actually is programming the Community Festival, which we chatted about last year, John McIldowie is coming in to have a chat about all things community, what's going on. They've got a couple of people on there actually that we've had in the show, which is quite exciting. Plus, Rainbow from Tia Maria is going to be in the studio making some cocktails. She's going to be showing us how it's done, Tia Maria vibes. Plus, I'm going to be announcing my track of the week this week, which I'm playing first up, is Cardi B. Now, she's going to be releasing her debut album tomorrow. We're very excited about it. It's called Be Careful. Oh, no, sorry, the album's not called Be Careful. I'm going to play Be Careful as my track of the day today. I'm really excited about this album. She dropped Be Careful this week, and it's basically a sort of different side of Cardi that we've never seen. Because I mean, a lot of people are saying it's about her partner now. I don't know if it is, because it's quite serious. It's kind of like all about cheating and staying with the right person. But it's a side of Cardi that we definitely have never seen. And apparently, according to her Twitter, the album is going to be full of different sides of Cardi B. So I'm very, very, very excited for this. So this week's track of the week is Be Careful. Go and check it out. The album's coming out tomorrow. All very excited about that. I'll be tweeting all day, probably an album review, but this is Be Careful, Cardi B.
Look, I wanna get married like the Curry, Steph and Aisha shit, but we more like Belly, Tommy and Keisha shit. Gave you TLC, you wanna creep and shit. Pulled out my whole heart to a piece of shit. Man, I thought you would've learned your lesson about liking pictures, not returning texts. I guess it's fine, man, I get the message. You still stutter after certain questions. You keep in contact with certain exes. Do you though? Trust me, nigga, it's cool though. Said that you was working, but you out here chasing culo and putas, chilling poolside, living two lives. I could've did what you did to me to you a few times, but if I did decide to slide, find a nigga, fuck him, suck his dick, you would've been pissed. But that's not my MO. I'm not that type of bitch, and karma for you is gonna be who you end up with. Don't make me sick, nigga.
Baby, I adore. I gave you everything, was mine is yours. I want you to live your life, of course, but I hope you get what you're dying for. Be careful with me. Do you know what you're doing? Whose feelings that you hurting and bruising? You gon' gain the whole world, but is it worth the girl that you losing? Be careful with me. Yeah, it's not a threat, it's a warning. Be careful with me. Yeah, my heart is like a package with a fragile label on it. Be careful with me. Before all of this, guess you acting out now. You got an audience. Tell me where your mind is. Drop a pin. What's the coordinates? You might have a fortune, but you lose me. You still gonna be misfortunate, nigga. Tell me, this love's got you this fucked up in the head. You want some random bitch up in your bed? She don't even know your middle name. Watch her, cause she might steal your chain. You don't want someone who love you instead? I guess not, though. It's blame, disrespect. You nothing like the nigga I met. Talk to me crazy and you quick to forget. You even got me tripping. You got me looking in the mirror different, thinking I'm flawed because you inconsistent. Between a rock and a hard place, the mud and the dirt is gone. Hurt me to hate you, but loving you's worse. It all stopped so abrupt, you started switching it up. Teach me to be like you, so I cannot give a fuck. Free to mess with someone else, I wish these feelings can melt. Cause you don't care about a thing, it's except your motherfucking self. You make me sick, nigga. I adore. I gave you everything, was mine is yours. I want you to live your life, of course, but I hope you get what you're dying for. Be careful with me. Do you know what you're doing? Whose feelings that you hurting and bruising? You gon' gain the whole world, but is it worth the girl that you losing? Be careful with me. Yeah, it's not a threat, it's a warning. Be careful with me. Yeah, my heart is like a package with a fragile label on it. Be careful with me.
Be careful, says Cardi B. A lot of people are saying interesting stuff about that track because it's so different, obviously, from Bodak Yellow and Motorsport and Bartier Cardi. But actually, because obviously she's singing in it, so it's a different vibe. She's not a singer, though, so everyone needs to just relax. She's not a singer. She's singing. It's like, you know, when Drake... Well, no, Drake can sing, but like, she can sing. It's just a different style. So I think everyone's like, oh, what is this? But actually, it's beautiful. And I think she sings really, really well in it, to be honest. So big up Cardi B. Congratulations on your album for tomorrow, Invasion of Privacy. It's going to be wicked, actually. She's had a bit of stuff going on, though, because on one of her previous albums, she had this picture, right? It's her drinking a bottle of Corona. And she's being sort of, I don't know how to put it, her genitalia is having a good time with a man. And apparently she used, if you go and check it out, it's on, I think it's on Gangsta Bitch Volume 1 or 2. And it's quite a graphic picture, but not really. It's kind of subtle in a way. But apparently the model in that picture is suing her because she used the image without his consent. I just don't really get that, because how did she do it without his consent? I don't know. Either someone's really good at photoshopping, or he definitely did consent, or something really bad happened. But she's being sued for £5 million. It's funny how that happens, isn't it? When you suddenly become successful, people are like, oh, I'm going to sue you now. Anyone that's ever had a problem with you is just like, yep, going to sue you. So sorry about that, Cardi B, but good luck with the album. I'm sure you'll be able to pay for the lawsuit after you release that anyway. Or some more red bottom shoes, whatever, babe. Now, SZA, this has been announced, well, she sort of said this a couple of weeks ago, but when she was speaking to Flaunt, the magazine, she gave details about the follow-up to her debut album, Control, saying, I'm going to make the best album of my life for this next album, and I know that because it's going to be my last album. WTF. I hope that's not true. Some people are saying it's a joke and that it actually isn't true, definitely, and she's going to be carrying on. Or maybe she's going to do a Childish Gambino and change her moniker. She won't be SZA anymore. Maybe she'll be, I don't know, something else. Maybe, you know, rock, paper, not SZA. Bad joke, Harriet, sorry. There's a few new albums coming out tomorrow. As I've already mentioned, Cardi B is coming out. Kali Uchis is going to be releasing Isolations, her debut album. Big fan of Kali Uchis, have been for a while. She's awesome. Also, follow her on social media because she says some interesting stuff, and I like her vibe. Kate Nash is also releasing a brand new album. Yesterday was Forever. We're going to be playing one of her songs from that album a little bit later in the show. And Kylie Minogue is releasing another album. She turns 50 this year. She's having two parties like the Queen. Keep going, Kylie Minogue. Absolutely love her. Golden is the name of her new album. And we'll update you more next week on some more albums that are coming out. Now, in music news and reviews today, there's a lot going on. First up, we've got Stormzy's been nominated for a BAFTA. He's nominated for the Must See Moment of 2017 award for his appearance on Love Island last summer. I didn't watch Love Island. But I feel like I'm the only person on earth that didn't watch it. If there's anyone out there who has any Love Island tips that can kind of teach me a bit more about this program, I would really like to hear them. I'm really into it because I watched like the first series and I was into it, but I just missed it because of all the festivals and stuff going on last year. So this year I'm going to get knee deep in Love Island. Carly Rae Jepsen has teased a new song on Instagram. I'm a big fan of Carly, like her a lot. She's poppy. She's actually signed to Scooter Braun, who manages Justin Bieber. So she's got the right kind of people around her. This song's called This Love Isn't Crazy. Okay, very specific. 3 years since her most recent album, which was Emotion. That seems like crazy. I feel like Carly Rae Jepsen literally just popped on the scene, but she's obviously been on it for a little minute. Another person that's releasing a new album very soon is Jared. Well, he's released it, actually. Jared Leto is hitchhiking around the United States to promote the new 30 Seconds of to Mars. I was about to say 30 Seconds of Summer. Not the right thing. 30 Seconds to Mars album. It is released tomorrow, and it's called America. He's going to go get around away by any means possible. Now, if you saw Jared Leto on the side of the road, what's your vibe? Do you pick him up because it's Jared Leto, or because he wears quite interesting clothes, like they're always like quite bright and eye-catching, so you're going to notice him whatever happens. But do you think people know him like off the side of the road vibe, because he's got like long hair and might be covering his face? I'm worried that he's going to be just left on the side of the road. He's going to be doing it via train, plane, automobile, Greyhound bus, Lyft rides, bicycles to NASCAR pit stops. Oh my God, this is intense. I'm not sure it's something that he should really be undertaking, because America's pretty big, I'm just saying. But anyway, he's off for it, so, you know, good on him. Beyonce. Now, we all remember last year when she got preggo and she couldn't do Coachella. We were all gutted, but Lady Gaga did it and it was fine and we all got over it. This year, she is doing it. She's headlining alongside The Weeknd and Eminem, and she's been rehearsing for 11 hours a day. Now, I feel like to have a body like Beyonce, you have to be doing more working out than you are like standing up. You know, like more hours working out than sleeping or moving or eating or doing anything else. Because there's just no way that you could create such a perfect figure. I mean, I'm hoping that there is some kind of cure to that and that I'm going to find it. It's going to be in a sort of bottled chocolate form, but I haven't found it thus far. So I'm not surprised she's working 11 hours a day, because if you've ever seen her live, she is unbelievable. And the effort levels. I mean, I saw her in Glastonbury. I think I've mentioned that about 1,000 times on the show. I'm pretty sure she was pregnant with Blue Ivy when she performed at Glastonbury. And if she was, because the timings seem to link very closely, if she was, that performance that she put on was mind-blowing. So we're all looking forward to that. Sadly, I'm not going to Coachella, but anyone there is, can you report back and give us a proper, you know, down-low of how it goes, how she was? Obviously, we'll all watch the videos online, but, you know, you need to be there to feel the sweat flicked off Beyonce onto you. But make sure you get to the front. Very, very important. Now, I'm going to play a little bit more music, and then we're going to get Vic Santoro in the building. He's next door. I'm going to play something a little bit different, guys. This is the vaccines are back together. I read an article today that apparently they had some trouble in the last few years because they got into a really bad physical fight in their studio. I wonder how often that genuinely happens. Like with Oasis, do you think they just had massive brawls while they were making their music? I don't know. Apparently the vaccines did anyway. I hope they've made up now, because this song's called I Can't Quit. So it seems like they haven't got really any other option than to make music if they can't quit. I'm into this. It's sick. The vaccines' new album's coming out. I think it's out now, actually. It's out now. You can get it. It's really good. I'm into it. Like, I haven't been that big a fan of the vaccines. Not that I didn't like them, but I didn't know that much of their music until now. And this one is really, really sick. So have a listen. vaccines, I can't quit. Vic Santoro's in the building.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm all right, you know. I'm all right. I'm feeling good today. The weather has been nice, you know.
Exactly. So, yeah. This is exactly how I started the show. I was like, the weather's nice. I'm having a nice time.
Yeah, no, definitely.
We're in the studio and it's not boiling hot or freezing cold.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
Living the dream. So, Winner Stays On EP is out now.
Yeah.
We're going to have a little chat about Czech first. This is the single we're going to be playing today. It's a banger, straight up. But it's produced by Diplo.
Yeah, there's a confusion. There is two Diplos. There is like the Diplo that we all know.
And there's another Diplo.
And there's another producer Diplo. So when I got the beat submitted to me, I was going crazy. I was thinking, what Diplo is it? But I didn't even want to ask, so I just recorded this song anyway.
But this Diplo still knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does. But he's, I think, I'm not sure if he's that producer profile. It's sort of like he's making it known that he's been producing for a long time. He does a lot of stuff for other artists, but he keeps sending me stuff like, you can't say it. It's top secret, so no one can actually know that it's me producing some of these songs that people hear. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to have to say you produced it, but I'm not going to say who you are.
So, wait, is it Diplo pretending not to be Diplo, but he's actually Diplo?
You know what? I have a suspicion that's what's going on. But I'm just like, you know what, I'm just going to let you run with it. I don't want to be the one that spoils it. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to say you produced it. I'm not going to really go into it. But yeah.
My mind is blown. Diplo is pretending not to be Diplo and then making Diplo songs, but he's not Diplo.
Yeah, basically.
This is incredible. Okay. Well, Diplo, good on you. It's a good beat. How did you start to kind of create the track? When you got the, because obviously, as you say, you got the track when it came through. Did you have any idea what you were going
to? Nah, not really. I think that was like one of the last tracks to get recorded on the EP. I had the whole thing recorded, but I felt like I needed a track.
You needed Diplo.
Yeah, I needed. So I had a bunch of stuff sent from different producers, you know, all around, you know, even abroad. And I was like, nah, that's not the track. I need a track. And then that beat came. I never even had no idea it was going to go like that. That just, the whole chorus just happened when I was sitting around one day. And I think I was sort of like, you know, thinking about, you know, the times that obviously, you know, the whole music journey has been hard and, you know, the work I've had to put in. And I'm thinking, you know what, actually it's time I get something out of this. And then I wanted to just make a track to reflect how I was feeling about myself up until that point. But yeah.
It definitely does that, because you talk a lot. I mean, you do a lot of work with youth offenders and stuff in prisons,
don't
you?
Yeah, I do a lot of that.
Which is wonderful in itself. Do you work on music related? Do you work with music?
Nah, actually, or do you just... I've got a complete separate profile as like a public speaker. I think I worked one charity once, I think Art Against Knives, and done an exhibition with them. And I had to sort of like do a presentation. And they felt like, you know what, this is something you should do, because basically I do it without a script. I just sort of do it of life experiences. And then we just sort of took it to the road, and then, you know, different prisons, the local prisons let me come in and deliver it, and it just sort of grew legs. And then countrywide, I sort of get contacted by different prisons to come in and deliver the same talk.
Is it important to you to do that alongside your career?
Yeah, for me, it's like a personal like mission, because, you know, it's funny, you know, when I was driving up here, I listened to LBC and, you know, all the problems that, you know, London's facing at the moment, you know, with the rise of the crime. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, small part of the reason why I, you know, take time out of myself and travel to different cities and go into these prisons and say, look, because my thing, you know, it's about, I had transferable skills when I was growing up, and I too was living in certain circumstances and didn't realize that. So I, you know, sort of go to young people and say, listen, by the way, you know, you can do this as well and you can do that as well. And I don't want to, like, for the things that they get sort of, you know, punished for, I let them know that, well, that same act, the same skills you used to commit that act, you could have put the same skill set into something positive and you'd win anyway. So that's what I kind of did with myself. So I let them know, you know, the transferable skills are real, and don't always, like, don't count yourself out too quick kind of thing.
And how did you actually do that? How did you stop yourself and push yourself, you know, and go the right side of it and do the right things with those transferable skills? How did you actually mentally, because it's difficult if you're in a circumstance when... you know, everything's pointing in one direction. It's hard to go the other way, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think for me, it was, I reached, you know, I've been very ambitious from very young. My problem was, it was not about, like, my method system was a bit messed up. So once I realized that actually I do want good things in my life and I am a good person, I was able to then realize that some of the things I may have been involved in or getting up to wasn't conducive to me, because it wasn't furthering that main goal that I had anyway. It was like, hold on a minute, I keep getting backwards. So I went back to the drawing board. And unfortunately, you get to the point where, for example, if you have a criminal record, you sort of feel limited to what you can do. So I was suffering from that comfort blanket as well. Like, oh, nobody's going to, you know, listen to what I had to say. So I just sort of went back to the drawing board and sort of just went back to educate myself and things like that. So I learned a trade. and I sort of put all the skills, energy I used to put into other things, into that trade, and you know, and yeah, the, one thing went to the other, the rest was kind of history. Next thing, I was in House of Commons, you know, giving a talk with the Youth Select Committee. So it was just, yeah, it's hard to explain.
No, it sounds perfectly like almost like wonderful. Like it's a nice kind of route into music as well, because obviously a lot of people say you need experiences and you need, you know, some things to have happened in your life to kind of really create honest music.
Definitely.
And I guess you have that now because of the route you took.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think Winner Stays On, I think for me, because of all the different things I do alongside music, you know, I do the public speaking stuff, you know, I do acting, you know, I'm in the Intent 2, which is coming out this summer.
Sick. Is that a horror film?
No, it's an urban film called The Intent. It came out, I think the part one came out last year, it was on Netflix and whatever not. They've done a part two this year. It was quite big. It was done, you know, alongside Island Records, and it's going to be a phenomenon.
Oh my God.
So that's coming out. So I started doing acting and I do modelling and things like that. And a lot of the young people...
God, this guy, what can't you do?
No, it's not even that. I think it's the whole point of like, don't limit yourself. Why limit yourself? I have a lot of music artists that say to me, why do you do acting? It might take you away from the music. I'm like, well, it can't. It's a talent. It's an art. So like, if I can hone it and, you know, be good at it, then I might as well do it. I try not to limit myself and box myself in, because growing up where I grew up, you was told there's a lot of things I'm doing now, I was told I would never do none of it. So that's why I just tried to let the youth know that I'm an example of somebody that just applied the skills to the right area.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an important thing as well to follow your dreams in the right kind of way. And if you put emphasis into everything you do, then it doesn't matter what you do or how you go about it, I guess.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's been very beneficial, because I learn a lot, and it's also, you know, improves your interaction skills. You get to meet different people. It just sort of broadens your mind when you're doing different things, I find anyway. And a lot of the times it's like just believing in yourself. That's my main thing. Like, you know, I sit around my manager and I have an idea. It will sound crazy, but she would know that she's been around me long enough to know that he doesn't have crazy ideas that stem from somewhere. So just believe in yourself and have a goal. You know, you've got nothing to lose at the end of the day.
So going forward, like 2018, 2019, what is if you could have a goal for like, all right, a film and maybe like a music collaboration, what would they be?
I would like to be in Top Boy.
Oh my God.
I did audition for it.
Did you?
Yeah, that's all I can say on it.
Used to film that right behind my old house. It was so sick.
I would like to be there because it's a TV series and I think it'll be a very good experience. Music-wise, Winner Stays On is weird because it's a mixture of different types of music-wise. I would just really like, you know, the acknowledgement. Even not like on a grand scale, just people to acknowledge the message I'm trying to send in my music. I don't, like, you get the people that listen to it, I think, okay, yeah, this is really good, but I'm saying, do you get the message? Like, you know, I'm actually trying to say something here. Because I think that gets lost a lot of the time, because as artists, we put our life on the songs, and someone might just be interested in the beat or just that one line you said that they enjoyed kind of thing, which is okay. But for me, as long as people have more of a understanding, you know, get my message. Even if it's a small percentage of people that get my message, that Winner Stays On means carry on applying yourself. Don't put your head down. And, you know, even when you're down, get back up. So if they get that message, that would be all right for me.
And who would you say was your sort of inspirations when you started in music? Who are the people you look up to now, you know, dead or alive? Who are the people that you like musically sort of vibe with?
And musically, you know what? This is going to sound weird. I'm actually a geek. I listen to everything.
Yeah, good.
I say that in the sense that I knew from a very young age I wanted to be an artist. And in order to, you know, be involved in that, I have to make sure I see what's going on. The personal influences, obviously, earlier on was sort of like Tupac and Biggie and whatever not. But that was just more like music. But in terms of the art itself, like, okay, what's writing bars? Mm. What's writing songs? How do you connect? How do you reach that place? You know, I have to listen to, you know, all the artists that have been successful, because I got to think, if you're successful at music, then you obviously are talented with, you know, with the skill of the art. So I'm going to pay attention to how you did yours and your trajectory so I can find a way to sort of, you know, make mine work for me, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, if you work out the formula, then you're going to be able to work out the answer, right?
Yeah, and all great artists, the funny thing is they all have similar traits, but I've come to realise that, you know, so...
100%. Well, that's why a lot of artists, whatever you do, whatever niche it is, like if you look at grime as an example, all music goes into pop and commercial. Like, eventually everything goes in a certain way. Not all artists and not all things, but you obviously, grime was an underground scene for a long time. And then, you know, there's people that have come out of grime and they are going to go the commercial, more commercial route, or they're going to stick with the, you know, pure grime, and in genres like that you see it more obviously, but in every genre
Yeah, no, definitely.
Like,
yeah.
there's poppy rock and there's poppy everything. But pop doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. I love pop music.
Yeah, but that's the misconception people have. They think pop, you know, pop just means popular.
Pop, exactly.
That's what it means, you know. So, yeah, if someone says I'm making pop music, that's a compliment to me. Yeah. Oh, I'm making popular music. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the narrative is just is misconstrued over the years. And now, you know, you get some artists, they, you know, associate pop with music that is more away from where they started from, if that makes any sense.
Exactly. And you want to keep creating and keep molding and changing and becoming a different thing.
Now you have to, definitely. Yeah. I mean, for example, like, I would look at, you know, if I look at the chart, I see the top three songs, it could be an artist that could be classed as a pop artist, but I'll ask myself this question: if that artist called me to feature on this track, would I be able to write a verse for it?
Yeah.
And if I can't, then I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
So it's one of those.
And what's the plan for the rest of the year?
The rest of the year of with the album, obviously I've got a couple of singles dropping. Obviously the video for Check's dropping next week.
Yes, yeah, so I saw a little tweet of that. You filmed that this week, right?
Yeah, no, I filmed that last week.
Last week.
Yeah, and so we're really excited about that. So
can you tell us anything about it?
Let's just say I just gotta give thanks to God, because I've never had a video shoot that went exactly how it was supposed to go. Normally there's something that's not in place or whatever not, but Check, because of the message of the song, we had to make sure visually we represented it as well. And I think we managed to nail it on the head. And I think I will go far and say that's my favorite video. Even though I haven't seen the complete edit yet, I just have a feeling it'll be my favorite. But that's going to come out next week. And, you know, with various TV channels and whatever not. So, yeah, but going forward.
Are you going to do any performance? Can we come and watch you anywhere?
Headline. Obviously, we've got a headline show coming up, probably July. What I wanted to do was, I would have done one when the EP came out, but for me, I wanted people to take in a CD first. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, some artists prefer when people hear the music for the first time when they're performing it, but for me, I wanted people to take, because it's been a journey for me, a real journey, and anybody that follows me will, you know, could see that, you know, it's apparent I've been on a real journey. So I want you to take the CD in and celebrate the victory with me. So when you come to the show, you're just like, this is for us, this is not even mine, this is for all of us that are chasing, you know, a dream or trying to work towards something and feel like you're starting to get this. That's what that CD is for. So I want people to come and party with me eventually.
Oh yeah, you need to do a party. 100%. So we keep an eye on your socials and find out about that coming in July. Yeah,
100%.
So things are really exciting for you right now.
Seeming that way. But it's weird. This year I'm gonna look really busy in the summer, but a lot of the things that are gonna come out of mine was done last year, i.e. the films. I done another film with the BBC called The Gun. It's like a BBC/documentary. And I think that has got the nod for the BAFTAs, but I'm not gonna say much more.
Oh
on
my
that.
God.
But we'll see how that, but that's coming, and that's gonna really be a big thing in theatres as well. But that was all shot last year. So
can you tell us a bit about it?
Well, basically, without going into too much detail, it's basically the story of a gun. It's basically, there was a gun that was used between, I think, 2000 and 2003, and three murders and eight fatal shootings. So what Whoa. They're doing is following the story of the gun. So,
oh, clever. Okay,
so
cool.
Basically, I'm sort of carrying out the role of the shooter, but while sort of explaining my relationship with the gun, what the gun's thinking, or how the gun is
sick.
It's very like smartly done, but you know, we've done that, and that's gonna come out. But the thing about it is a film/documentary, because what happens is they get the perspective of people that have been in that background. So I would shoot the scenes, you know, film wise, and then after that the documentary cameras would come in and say, okay, well, when you was growing up, why would that type of thing happen? So I then give my insight to why those situations occur.
I'm looking forward to watching this.
So yeah,
so when's that coming out? Let's have a look if it's written here. It's coming out later this year.
It's coming out, say, probably June. Next June, probably.
Amazing.
June. And then the other film is coming out, you know, August. So
it's going to be on Netflix.
Yeah, it's going to be on Netflix, all of them.
Netflix is the one, man. Like, everything good is on Netflix.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. I keep going on Netflix thinking, hopefully they just drop it a bit early. But obviously, I'm looking forward to be able to see myself on Netflix. Because, you know, my mum, she hasn't got social media and stuff like that. So when I tell her I've done a film, she's like, where is it then? I'm like, yeah, but mommy, it doesn't work like
that. Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, right, yeah. So I'm waiting to this on Netflix. I said, mom, go, oh, the cinema. Mom, come cinema. Come and see me acting. So,
sure, that's so cute. My mum's exactly the same, don't worry. Right, let's play a little bit of Check. Thank you so much for coming through.
Oh, yeah, thank you for having me.
Keep in touch. I'm looking forward to watching Gun. It sounds sick.
Yeah.
And also, everyone can go and get the EP right now, Winner Stays On, and check out this. This is Check. Do you want to introduce it for us, babe?
Yeah, this is my single. It's called Check. It's taken off my EP, Winner Stays On. Hope you enjoy it.
Woo!
Yeah. see me on your stage, you better write me a check. Labels keep asking for the album, they better write me a check. Want me to wear these clothes, you better write me a check. Vic, I'm a walking franchise, they better write me a check. Write me a check, they better write me a check. Yeah, they better write me a check. Once you see me on your stage, you better write me a check. Vic, I'm a walking franchise, they better write me a check. Yeah, they had to write me a check. Knox came through with the packs on him, he had the army on deck. She was trying to free up the whole thing, I only wanted the neck. They ain't really speaking the whole truth, they only bang on the net. Yeah, up in the club with my shades on. Even in jail I was flexing, trust I was living like Avon. Your chick keep on sending me texts, feeling the kick cause I stayed on. All that I see is his blessings, these are the things that I prayed on. Yeah, mixed the Givenchy with Puma. For nights I was living off tuna, trust me he's mad in the dunya. Haters keep starting up rumours when you're the man in your corners. This shit that happened with sooner, fuck it, it's happened, I'm cool now. Wanna see me on your stage, you better write me a check. Labels keep asking for the album, they better write me a check. Want me to wear these clothes, you better write me a check. Vic, I'm a walking franchise, they better write me a check. Write me a check, they better write me a check. Yeah, they better write me a check. Once you see me on your stage, you better write me a check. Vic, I'm a walking franchise, they better write me a check. Yeah, steps in the place with Bosey. The girl digs me on the low key, got his boys with salty. You was in your yard, you was moping, I was out air with Smokey. You was in the field getting run down, I was in the field with trophies. Yeah, pour me a glass of the good stuff. My jacket is made out of wolf cuss, coming through town with the roof off. Living this life, I'm the proof of what burning down all the booth does. The fabric I'm rocking is crazy, the music is giving me goosebumps. Yeah, never been one to be stagnant. The chicks that I link out bougie, spent couple racks on their handbag. The shit on the gram couldn't fool me, I know you niggas a sad man. I clocked that was moving a bookie, I had to bring in the cabman. Wanna see me on your stage, you better write me a check. Labels keep asking for the album, they better write me a check. Want me to wear these clothes, you better write me a check. Vic, I'm a walking franchise, they better write me a check. Write me a check, they better write me a check. Yeah, they better write me a check. Once you see me on your stage, you better write me a check. Vic, I'm a walking franchise, they better write me a check.
On FUBAR Radio.
Frank Turner joins me on the line right now to discuss his brand new album, Be More Kind, which is actually your seventh studio album, isn't it, Frank? How's it going?
It is. I'm going very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. It's very exciting for you.
Yeah, it's my seventh solo record. I did a couple with other bands as well, so I'm definitely kind of long in the tooth as these things go these days.
Yeah, but I mean, seven is quite an exciting number. You know, there's like 7 days of the week. It seems to be like an important number in life. I mean, there's lots of like interesting things that revolve around the number seven. So does this feel like a pinnacle album? Does this feel like something special because it's number seven?
It does. I mean, there's also Seven Son of a Seven Son by Iron Maiden, one of my very favourite albums. It feels like a special record. I haven't yet considered the possibility it's because of the number, but I'm now thinking about it. But this is a record where I've tried to kind of like break out my comfort zone and do something quite different, and I worked very hard on it, and I, dare I say it, think it's one of the better things that I've done in my career.
Well, didn't you just mention Iron Maiden as well? So isn't that your mastermind? Yep.
It was my mastermind special subject, like not metaphorically, literally, and I've won, I'm pleased to say.
Yeah, so obviously there is something there because, you know, Seven, they've got an album, yeah. You know, there's something, maybe I've unearthed something quite...
No, I think you might have done. I'm going to have to sit down and have a good long think about this.
It must have been, sorry to go back to Mastermind again, but that is a pretty amazing feat to win Mastermind.
Yeah, it was something I'm very proud of doing. I mean, the thing is, I'm very proud of it. It was the Celebrity Mastermind Edition, which meant I didn't go through all the sort of heats and everything else. So it's sort of slightly cheating, but it's a nice. I've got a little glass trophy thing, and it looks very nice on my shelf.
Your most prized trophy, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
How long did it take you to actually... I'm just so interested in it because I find in I find like things like that, like tests and any kind of like competition that involves me having to think with my mind too difficult. How did you like hone your music knowledge to be able to actually perform on the day?
Well, I read it. I am reasonably knowledgeable about Iron Maiden anyway, but I sat down and reread every book about Maiden that I could get my hands on and read lots of websites and that kind of thing. And it's the first time I've done any kind of sort of exam since I left school, which was a really long time ago. So it was quite... I started getting exam anxiety dreams, which was quite weird to get again in your mid-30s.
But that's not something you want to go back to, is it? Those horrible... Yeah. You're taking your exam with your pants off or something horrible like that.
Yeah. But it went well.
Well, just so you know, I've got a bit of further information on the number seven for you. The number seven is the seeker, the thinker, and the searcher of truth.
I see.
So I don't know. I have a think about it. I don't know whether that is going to link into this album for you later on down the line, especially when you start your tour, which is kicking off.
Which is kicking off in Manchester.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, technically speaking, it's kicking off in Mexico tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we sort of got this offer of a couple of Mexican shows that were, I mean, I love Mexico anyway, but like I'm playing this gigantic festival in Guadalajara. So just because I don't really have anything else to do between now and the start of the massive UK tour, I'm just going to nip to Mexico for 4 days.
Just pop over, babe. Just pop right over and do a quick gig.
That's what I'm doing.
And have some lovely food, which I'm sure that's the most exciting thing about Mexico, isn't it?
The people of Mexico, I mean, playing shows out there, which is something I've only been doing for a couple of years, but it's absolutely wonderful out there.
Yeah, I've actually never been, but it's somewhere I lust to go. And I can imagine as a performer, it's quite an experience.
Yeah, people in Mexico are very, very intense and dedicated, shall we say. And yeah, it's really nice that I've sort of added that country to my list of places that I played. You know what I mean? I like the idea of being the kind of person who plays more than just kind of USA, Canada, and Europe.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you. I mean, you've played all around the world. You've had some humongous gigs, and this tour looks to be really exciting as well. You're going to be all around the UK, which is what we're excited about because we're going to be able to come and watch you.
Well, me too. And it's like it's funny because like I mean I do tour all around the world, and I'm going to try and phrase this in the right way, but like it's always lovely coming back and doing a UK tour because I sort of forget that this is you know where it started, where my audience is biggest, and I would arguably most dedicated. And you know, I wander out onto a stage in Manchester or something like that, and I kind of go, "Oh yeah, UK shows—they're amazing." So it's nice. And Manchester is always, I might add, the place that sells out first on any tour we ever put on sale anywhere. So I'm excited to start there.
Well, that's definitely a banging start as well to like kick it off with a place that you know and love. But also, I want to know because we've got a bit of a bad reputation in the UK as audiences. Have you experienced, you know, that element of the UK crowd?
I wouldn't say UK. I've always had a good time in there. It's obviously it's where I'm from and it's where I've played the most. And you know, I mean, for example, the last time we did the UK tour, we played show in Leeds where the crowd was so insane that it actually looked like the PA and the stage was going to collapse after about half the song. So which was wonderful in its way, although I out of the corner of my eye I could see my crew running around panicking and pulling their hair out. I mean, there's always a bit of a thing about London crowds being a bit over it because there's so much music in London, and I mean, I live in London. I'm in London right now, that occasionally can be true. But I mean, it's always a hometown show for me, so it's always really fun. I'm quite up on UK crowds.
Well, I think we can be a bit of both, can't we? We're exactly as you say. We're either ripping the PA off the wall, or we're standing with our arms closed. So, I mean, a little bit in between would be perfect if the UK could listen up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the other thing about the UK has a reputation for audiences being quite fickle, just in the sense that, you know, you'll have a band, it can be massive one week and no one cares at all the next week. Mm-hmm. And I think that is true to a degree, although it does... I'm sort of touching wood while I say this, but to date it hasn't really been true of my career, which is something I'm really proud of. You know, I've never really been cool, and I don't particularly want to be cool. You know, I don't think anyone's ever gone to a Frank Turner show to be seen. People tend to go for the music, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, but you definitely don't want those kind of people at your gigs that go to
Well, exactly, because then partly because they sound like awful people, and partly because they're not going to be there 6 months' time.
And also, I think it's I mean, I hate to sound like a complete twat now, but you know, being cool is kind of the epitome of being cool is not being cool and not caring about being cool. So, Frank, you're smashing it so far.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Thank you.
So tell me, before you head off on tour, what's the kind of things that you need to pack, that you need to do? Is there any kind of, do you need to sit and meditate for like 2 days before you go? Like, what's the, is it a yoga retreat?
No. I've actually, because I've been doing this so much. I did my first tour 20 years ago this summer, actually. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to mark the occasion. Possibly I could spend 2 weeks driving around in a van playing to no people at all. That would be in keeping with the theme. It's something that I'm so used to now. It takes me about 4 minutes to pack for tour.
That's impressive.
I just sort of know how it goes. It has to be said, in the last couple of years, I've actually sort of settled down a bit. You know, I've got a partner, I've got a house, I've got a cat, I've got reasons to go home, you know. But for the longest time, it was just a case of just sort of sweeping the things on the side into the open suitcase, and then we were done. I have to do a little bit more effort this time, nowadays, to pack, but it's still something that doesn't take long.
But seriously, though, cats are awesome. Well done on the cat front.
My cat is charging around my feet somewhere as we have this conversation right now, but she's wonderful.
What's your cat called?
I have to preface this. I'm a big fan of pun animal names, and I'm a big history nerd, so our cat's called Buddha Cat.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, amazing!
Buddha Cat. Yes, I mean, we call her Booty for short.
And are you one of those cat owners that leaves the house like I do with enough hair on your chest that it's uncomfortable because the cat sort of rubbed it all over you? Or is your cat one of those nice cats that doesn't shed everywhere?
She doesn't shed that much, although she is 7 months old. This is our first sort of spring or summer that we've had her, so I think we're going to find out either way.
Wow.
But she's definitely now the sort of central member of the household, like everything else revolves around her.
I know, cats are a nightmare like that. What does she think of your music? That's the most important thing, I guess.
I don't know, but she does have this habit. Quite often, I'll pack the night before I go away for tour, and I come down in the morning to like get in a cab to the airport or whatever, and she's quite often sitting on my suitcase looking disappointed in me, which is really kind of heartbreaking.
I think that's what cats are there for, is to judge you and for you to judge yourself for having the cat and also for leaving the house with the cat still there. I mean, that's their main role in life, is to give you anxiety, I think. Is it not?
Yeah, well, it's going quite well.
Well, congratulations again on the cat. I mean, it seems to be a massive year for you. 7th album, 20th year of touring, and you've got a brand new cat.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big year, definitely. It's exciting, you know. I mean, it's wonderful that I'm still doing this 20 years down the line, and indeed that I can have a cat while I do it. So no complaints from me.
Would you say the cat was the sort of, you know, the best part of all of it, you know? Because obviously everyone wants to achieve something in life. Would it be...
I think I'd get in serious trouble with my girlfriend if I said that the cat was the best part, so...
You can remain silent. It's okay.
There we go.
So I was having a little stalk of you, not physically, don't worry, just online. I was having a look at some of the charities that you... Well, it just seems like you do a lot of supporting for charities, which is not a shock considering the name of your album is Be More Kind. And you tend to... It seems for a long time you've been involved in sort of supporting charities. And I believe you're collaborating with Stay Up Late for the tour.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, the first thing is it's really easy if you do what I do for a living to actually get charities involved in what you do. It actually doesn't involve massive effort on my part. I get talking to people. I think it's a good idea. And then generally speaking, they and my crew do quite a lot of work and I stand at the front and smile. So it's definitely other people who deserve more credit on this than I do. But Stay Up Late's a wonderful thing. I got involved. I heard about the Gig Buddies organization down in Brighton, and they get people who have learning disabilities. Who a lot of them, you know, they want to go to live gigs, but for various reasons it can be quite hard to organise. So that's where Stay Up Late and Gig Buddies come in, is that they sort of try and put together some infrastructure to open the accessibility of gigs to everybody. And I was just reading about this and I just thought to myself, that's amazing. And that's really easy for us to get that involved in the tour. You know, and sort of accessibility to gigs is a big thing that I do. I've worked with Able2 UK in the past about disabled access, and we've done lots of stuff with Safe Gigs for Women. And, you know, I don't think that as a musician I'm going to change the world, but I can try and present a version of the world in my shows that that represents my values, you know, and I think that part of that is making sure that they're accessible for everybody. So, yeah, so we've got Gig Buddies and Stay Up Later coming along with us, and we're going to have lots of more people coming to the shows.
Well, that's wonderful. I thank you for... And I really merit you for sort of, you know, as you say, you do it as part of a team, and it's a team effort to kind of get charities like that involved. Yeah. But it's wonderful that you're spearheading it and that you're using the opportunity to create that opportunity for people to be able to come to the gigs who you wouldn't usually be able to.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, call me a wide-eyed idealist, but I've got this idea that, you know, live music is for everybody. And I think that I should try and stick to that when I can. So, yes, I'm really excited to have those guys and girls coming on.
And also, just quickly before you go, Lost Evenings is coming back to the Roundhouse, 11th and 14th of May, which sounds incredible. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so, I mean, we did it, last year was year one, and I mean, it was very, we were hoping it would be year one of many, but last year was a bit of a sort of like shot in the dark, because me and my crew had never organised anything approaching a festival before. So, but four nights at the Roundhouse, put a second stage in, took over like three or four other venues, and booked about, I think last year we had about 40 bands playing, and against all expectations, it went really well, and it sold out, and everyone had a great time, and it was just like, wow, okay, that worked. So we're doing it again, and this year we are sold out, which is exciting. In fact, I think while we've been on this call, we've announced the acts for the second stage, which has been exciting, because we've been playing that for ages. There's just tons and tons of new and old bands and great bands that I like playing.
Who are the new announcements? Can you give us a couple of the new announcements?
We've got Felix Hagen's just been announced. Holy Moly and Crackers have just been announced. Xyla Roo, P.D. Little, Lion and the Wolf. I should have a list of this in front of me, but I don't. We've just announced another kind of like sort of 20 band. Well, so there's a lot of extra music.
You're making us all jealous because it's sold out anyway, so we can't even enjoy it. But everyone should go over to social media and make sure they watch and find out all the information in case there's any tickets available or anything.
Exactly, and indeed check out all of the bands. Because quite often people ask me, like, what am I listening to and what I'm into? And the easiest answer to that is just check out who's on the bill for Lost Evening.
Well, congratulations on everything, Frank. It's a wicked, massive 2018 for you.
It's shaping up that way.
Thanks so much for coming to have a chat with us on FUBAR, and we're going to play a little bit of Blackout now. The album comes out on the 4th of May, so everyone go and get Be More Kind on the 4th of May. And also, we look forward to seeing you hopefully at one of your gigs across the UK.
Yes, definitely.
Good luck in Mexico also.
Cheers, thank you.
All right, cheers, Frank.
Thanks. Have a lovely day.
You too, bye.
Bye.
Watching your favorite show when the TV died, the biggest power cut in your neighborhood since 1989. A blackout in the center of town, but down in the suburbs where it first went out, they've been asking the question. We're all caught in the blackout, trying to feel
easy questions. Are you afraid of the darkness? Are you afraid of the darkness? I'm afraid of the darkness too. We're all caught in a blackout, trying to feel our way out. Wait for the morning, I'll be waiting for you. Meet me in the middle, meet me in the middle, bring a burning candle with you. Meet me in the middle, meet me in the middle, I will be there waiting for you. Meet me in the middle, meet me in the middle, bring a burning candle with you. Meet me in the middle.
Hey, Dan Kaplan here, Fubar Radio with Harriet motherfucking Rose.
Words started cutting, I wanna feel nothing. I know that you fucked and we could've been something. This forgery frontin', the effort I put in left a bubble, we rustic, I told you I'm running. And doesn't that just sum it up? Late night text felt like an uppercut. I was at home, you were out lusting, huh? Girl, you took a chance, now you want another one. World wouldn't be enough, body started feeling rough. Auto can't peel enough, hope what I feel is not. Friends, what I need is one, pour it on this heartburn. True, what I do is none of your concern. Try to keep this feeling for you, I still yearn. Thoughts of you and him, they can't be unturned. Trust that we lose, it can't be re-earned. So let this pain blur, cause it's about time I learn, right? I'm pressing more buttons, it's just for the function. More shots and more stumbling, I think of you touching. The image is cutting, I wish I could hush it. Is he that much better than me? Of course he is, why would you ever even settle for me? Sentiments cut right to the center of me. Unsettling everything we said we could be. Well, I'm waiting for your friend. No, not really, but it helps to pretend. Does this hurt like ever fucking man? Am I stuck like this to the very fucking end? No one can make it better. Stuck with a dinner, cause I don't make a shit. A bloodshot with the wetters. I wish you well in endeavors, but I hope you still let us get torn by fucking shredders. Cause you don't know better.
Now featuring Becky Phillips. That's Darce. Now, do you guys remember Darce? He came into the studio a little while ago. What a lovely boy. He's really sick. I think he's very talented. He came all the way from Ireland, I think, when he came to join us. And I really like him, so I've played that. That's his new single. Big love to Darce. Come back soon, babe. So we've got loads more to come. Basically, in the studio in a little minute, John McIldowey, who is organising Community Festival and also some very extra special gigs in Finsbury Park, is going to be chatting to us. Now, he's a music industry pro. He's been part of some of the biggest festivals in the UK, so we're going to be chatting all about that. But in the meantime, you can go and check out Community Festival, www.communityfestival.london. We actually had a chat about this last year as well. It's a really exciting little festival. I don't want to say too much because John's going to be coming in a little minute to chat about it. But we're going to play some more music in a minute. There's a lot going on at the moment in terms of music. As I said, Kate Nash is about to release her new album tomorrow. I'm going to play Drink About You in a minute. But I just wanted to talk about it a little bit because there seems to be a couple of people. So her and Kylie Minogue are both releasing albums tomorrow, which is sort of not comebacks, but like, you know, they've been in the music industry for a minute. And I feel like Kate Nash's trajectory is really exciting because I was a huge fan when she first came out. I really love her music. You know, I went to see her live in London, and you know, it was a beautiful album. But I also am really excited by what she's doing now. I feel like she's kind of molded and changed into a new musician, but in a really organic way, and it's quite exciting. I also think she's got great style. Her music videos are always really sick, and so I'm really excited about this one. And also kind of the same with Kylie Minogue. I mean, she's been a powerhouse of the music industry for such a long time, and obviously she started in Neighbours and then got into the music industry, and I've seen a lot. You know, she's been through a heck of a lot, and she's been through it all in front of everybody in the media. She's beat cancer. She also did a few, like, she's done a lot of incredible things for the LGBTQ+ community. You know, she refused to get married until it became legal for same-sex marriage in Australia. And she is essentially a gay icon anyway, but I just feel like it's really exciting that she's releasing this Golden, her new album, on her year of turning 50. It's such a pinnacle. And so exciting to have had such a career like that in the music industry, I think. And do you know what? She's still pumping out the bangers. That girl can rock a pair of hot pants as well. I don't know if you know, but you know those iconic hot pants she wore? I can't remember what video it was in now. I think it's Can't Get You Out of My Head. The gold hot pants were 50p. Spinning around, that was it, were 50p. I mean, if that woman can create one of the most iconic looks of a music video for 50p, then I'm sold. So we're going to play a bit of back-to-back Kate Nash and Kylie. Oh, God. Nearly said Danny Minogue. Wrong sister. So we're going to play a bit of back-to-back of Minogue and Nash now. Oh, I've just realised they both start with a K. That's really cool, isn't it, guys? Anybody? This is Drink About You, which is like, the thing I like about Kate Nash's music is she's really funny as well as being sort of like lyrically clever. And I like this one a lot. It's a bit sad, but I like the sort of analogy of Drink About You. And then we've got a bit of dancing with Kylie Minogue after that. And we'll see you in a little second. We've got more guests to come. We're going to be drinking some Tia Maria. It's all very excited here. Excited? Exciting. Here's Kate Nash.
listening to Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
We better get...
smells fantastic. You can't capture that on radio.
Oh, my God. Thanks. Well, Albert Hammond Jr.
It's
thinks not, I smell
me.
Nice.
Thank you.
No one wants to stay at home. Nobody wants to be alone. When you come knocking, I'll be at your door. I don't ever want to stop. I'm gonna give it all I've got. And when they ask me, who could ask for more? Can't stand still. Won't slow down. When I go.
Kylie Minogue, or dancing Kylie Minogue, depending on how you pronounce it, I guess. Now, Hannah, my AP's just blown my mind, okay? She's brought a real third element to that song that I really wasn't expecting. I feel quite panicked by it and also shocked. Like the time when we discussed on the show when Robin did Dancing on My Own and Call Your Girlfriend, were they about the same night? About the two different perspectives. This is going to blow your mind as well. Right, okay. So that song is called Dancing. She says, I want to go out dancing. So you assume she means, I want to go out dancing. I want to go out with my mates and go dancing. Or does it mean, I want to go out dancing? I.e., I want to go out dancing. I want to die dancing. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa, mind blown. Don't know if that's the case, but when she said it to me, I then couldn't hear it in any other way other than she's going to go out, as in out of the world dancing. And in that sense, it's a really very positive song. But Kylie, if you're listening, hit us up on the DMs, babe. Let us know, because I feel uncomfortable that I don't know the truth about that and I really want to find out. Plus, a little bit of knowledge for you. This Saturday, there is a Kylie night at GAY, and according to Hannah again, I don't know why she knows so much about Kylie Minogue. We'll address that later. Oh, yeah, she's Australian. Oh, God. Hannah's also featured in Home and Away as well, and Neighbours, all of them, just as many as she could get her hands on. Then she became my AP. So real trajectory up into the stars with me, I think. You're welcome to work with me. Thank you. On Saturday, Kylie Knight at GAY, and apparently she might be there. I don't know whether Hannah's her PA or she works very close. Perhaps Hannah is actually Danny Minogue. I don't know. But if you want to know anything, just email the studio, ask for Hannah, and she'll be able to give you all the up-to-date Kylie Minogue goss. On another note, a little quick one before we go into our next interview. Post Malone has finally revealed the release date for the new album Beer Bongs and Bentleys. This man releases an album every 2 months. He's incredible. What a workforce. It was first announced in February 2017 and initially expected to drop by the end of the year, but as you can tell, we've still not got it. At a show in Nashville on Wednesday, he told fans that the album would finally be released on April 27th, admitting that it had been in the works for so fucking long. That sounds like my mate Post. He loves a swear word. Beer Bongs and Bentleys is Post's second studio album and will follow on from Stony. Because when I spoke to him in the studio, he said he was about to release Beer Bongs and Bentleys, and he didn't. So we're still waiting, Post. And I'm also still waiting for my date with you that is supposed to be happening. Now, let's play a little bit of Muh, who has released a new song. It's called Nostalgia, and I'm a big, big, big fan of this. She's been away for a little while, so welcome back, babe.
I remember the first time I was in love. It was all the way back in 1997. I stole my mama's cell phone, yes, and I was turning it up. Track down your number, boy. I was so in love, I thought I was in heaven. It was so beautiful, the love we had, I can't believe we
brand new one, Nostalgia. John McLeodowy is in the studio, and I've just been trying to pronounce the name correctly for like.
Spot on.
Yes!
Spot on. 10 out of 10.
Is that a Scottish name?
It's a Scottish name with an Irish spelling, just to try and sort of mess with you.
Yeah, just fuck with everyone. But I think exactly. It's the best to have a name that is interesting.
Yeah, there's 10 of us, I think, in England, something Ooh, like that.
Really? I'm a Galbraith.
Oh, yeah.
Not my surname. My surname is actually the most well-known surname in the earth, Smith. But my middle name is Galbraith, because that's my mum's maiden name.
Okay, so we could be related.
I think we are.
Cousins, possibly.
We've both Second got, because you've got, I've got grey hair. You've got some grey in your beard.
I've definitely got grey hair, yeah.
I've got a whole head of grey hair, so I think we are. We look quite similar. I've got a similar length beard to you, although I did just trim mine. So you've had a huge career in the music industry. You're from Birmingham, right? Or did you just start in Birmingham?
I'm from Birmingham. Okay. Yeah, I had an accent, yeah.
I'm from Warwickshire. We are actually
related. Down the road, yeah, literally.
And you've sort of started off just working on gigs, and then you moved on to festivals, and you were then became the co-founder of The Great Escape.
Yeah, I was with a mate of mine, Martin, and we got a bit drunk at a music conference in Canada, and we started being really arrogant and telling everybody that we could do this better, and you know, South by Southwest was okay, but we could do better. And by the following morning, we'd have committed to doing this event in Brighton. And then we set it up in 2006, I think it was.
Wow.
Mm.
That's so one of the most...
Be careful when you get drunk. Yeah. Start making promises.
No, but seriously, though, it's actually really dangerous. Yeah. You can have a whole change of career path through one drunken night.
It happened. Happened to me. Be careful.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big thing to undertake, especially a festival like The Great Escape, where it's venues across the whole of Brighton. It is one of the most prestigious new music festivals in the UK, maybe even the world. How did it feel when it went well?
Well, the first year was just absolutely mental. Like, we didn't really know what we were doing. So, you know, like, our production manager quit the day before. Like,
no.
We had the guy who was like doing the guest list fainted because he was getting hassled so much, white as a sheet.
Aww.
And loads of challenges first year, but I think if you've got, like, if the idea is strong and you time it well, then you can be forgiven quite a lot. And people, like, they left after the first year going, well, it was a bit chaotic, but we love Brighton, we love the idea. And by the second year, we'd built a really good team. And then, you know, kind of over 10 years later, it's going from strength to strength. So, yeah, really, really happy with it. I don't even work on it directly now anymore. But the guys that do are absolutely killer. They're amazing.
Do you still have any input, or is it just sort of like a connection that you birthed and then you kind of let go of?
I let go of, and then... I moved actually to another company and then that company bought The Great Escape. So it's like kind of having a kid leave to go to university and then coming and moving back in, you know?
That guy's just following you around. So let's talk a bit about Community Festival. I really like the vibe of Community Festival. It's on Sunday the 1st of July. Everyone can, I've already mentioned this today, but go and get your tickets at www.communityfestival.london. It's only £40, and the level of artists that are playing this one are insane. Firstly, let's have a chat about how you got first involved with Community and what made you sort of want to look after this festival.
I grew up listening to indie music. It was kind of like my first love, even though I'm now massively into hip hop and dance and other stuff. But I just love it, and I felt like London had a lot of kind of really kind of grown up and cool events. It had a lot of dance events. You know, I've worked on Wireless for a couple of years, and that's probably the best hip hop festival in the world. So, you know, Londoners are spoilt for almost everything. But the one thing that I felt that London had missing was a really good, pure, fun, affordable indie event. And we had that opportunity with Catfish last year, and they were up for it. They embraced the idea. We got excellent acts like Wombats and Slaves come in and do it. And it was just the most incredible first year. The reaction from the crowd. We built, you know, a community from doing this first event. We just thought we're just going to have to keep doing it. You know, it's really... really fun, good reaction, and people want it, so why not?
Cyclically in music, everything obviously changes all the time, and the hottest thing changes all the time. Indie's always present at all times, you know. Mm. It's always in the charts, but it does feel missing, and festivals like this kind of bring it to the forefront. Because there's a huge like percentage of London that are in love with indie. Like, it's obviously, you know, the areas like Camden and stuff where it's got such a memory of indie music. It's things like this that are kind of bringing it to the forefront. But also, these artists are, you know, like Rat Boy, who are up and coming. Well, obviously they're really successful now, but last year they were just up and coming guys. We're going to actually play a track, Be My Anime, which is one of their new ones, in a little bit. But it just seems to be a real celebration of upcoming artists, as well as the, you know, the guys who've been around and who have been creating great indie for a long time. Was it important to you to kind of merge the established and the up and coming?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that the beauty of a music fan is they don't really see the difference. So whether they're going to see Rat Boy or whether they're going to see The Vaccines, they don't think of one of these acts as old or young. They just think of it as a type of music they, you know, they absolutely love. I was at Rat Boy's first gig, actually.
Oh, really?
In Chelmsford, and the trains were down, so we could only get about halfway there. We had to get this cab through the forest, and the cab driver started telling us stories about, you know, jokingly about how he murdered someone, and it was just like the weirdest cab journey possible. And we got into this tiny little club, and there was this ratty little 16-year-old coming in, jumped on stage and just played the best show. We absolutely love Rat Boy, so super excited.
He's a cutie as well, and I've interviewed them before, and they are a force to be reckoned with, like almost uncontrollable, but in the best kind of rock way.
Totally.
Because they're so young, but they're so full of music. It's really exciting.
Yeah. No, we love them, and I think that, you know, they're playing the main stage for us, and it's going to go off.
Oh my God, it'll be nuts. You won't be able to control it.
No,
in a good way. When you do these kind of events, obviously you're used to putting together pretty large events and organising music things. Is there things on the day that just without fail will always go wrong?
Do you know what? Generally not. You hope, that's the idea. And for the most part, no. But I'm just really fortunate to work with an amazing team. You know, when you first start out, when you're in your teens or early 20s and you're organising gigs and you don't know what you're doing, and most of the people there don't know what they're doing, then it is just constant, right? Firefighting. But you know, Finsbury Park's a great venue to work with, and we've got really good people, and we're working with, you know, professional bands. They have a lot of fun, but, you know, they generally turn up on time.
Who's the naughtiest ever in your existence of working in the music industry? Who's the naughtiest artist or artists that you've ever worked with?
Define naughty, like as in either badly behaved.
Yeah, or they were just like a dick, or, you know, you don't have to. I'm not asking you to call out people. I just mean there's a lot of, like, you know, you hear a lot of stories about different artists being divas, but I think it's the best part of being an artist is that you have that character off stage as well as on.
I did have one act that kept insisting that they were around the corner, and then we found out they were in another country.
No,
that was sort of annoying. Like, yeah, we're almost there. We'll be there in a minute. Yeah, we'll be there. Some of them, to be fair, did turn up, but one of them happened to be in another country watching a boxing match. That was slightly annoying.
That is unreal. That's an unreal level of, like,
cheeky.
Let's pretend.
Yeah.
That I've ever heard. Will you tell us who it is?
Well, it's on social media, so, you know, the one of the Migos guys at Reading and Leeds, you know, decided he was going to go and watch a boxing match.
Was it one of Migos?
Oh,
my
knew.
God.
It was early in their career and everybody knew, but it was just one of those where it's like, well, most of them are here and we're just going to sing along and have a good time. So that was a bit annoying.
In a way, I kind of admire the swag of someone that's like... Actually,
there's boxing on.
There's this really cool thing that I want to go and see.
Yeah, and then we found out because he put it on his social media. But anyway,
oh my God,
you know.
That's even better. That is even better.
Yeah, we get silly stuff like that, and we get rider requests that are a bit crazy. So some acts will want, you know,
weirdest one. Go on.
They each of the band members wanted a BMX so they could cycle around backstage.
Oh my God. That's like 13-year-old me. I want a scooter.
Exactly. Well, you know,
trick me out, babes.
Ask whatever you want. Somebody wanted a yoga studio. You know, it's like...
Is that Justin Bieber? Because I've definitely heard that before.
Never worked with Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Couldn't tell you, I'm afraid.
Well, I can tell you that he likes to have... I think it's an Indian yoga, specific Indian yoga, like, setup.
Oh, wow.
When he goes. And a lot of white rooms. I'm paraphrasing because I read out his rider on the show a few weeks ago. But I think that's... They're very, very good examples of ridiculous requests. I think BMXs... I mean, I hope they got to take them home. Or someone did.
Yeah. I don't know where they are, you know. So
they're
probably
not in your back garden
they're
anyway.
They're not in my back garden. No, they've probably got them.
Who are you most excited to see at the festival? Because obviously you'll have seen most... Have you seen all of them before, or will it be a first time for some of them?
I've seen all the bands before. I think it's going to be good to see Yumi at Six come back. I think they've got a big fan base. They played Reading and Leeds for us recently, and that... You know, that was a big slot for them. And they absolutely smashed it. So I think they're going to come and play a surprisingly strong set. I think Vaccines... You know, album just out, the real return to form for them.
Really, I just played their track earlier in the show, and I've always liked the Vaccines. I wasn't like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with the Vaccines, but this, I'm like, I'm obsessed with the Vaccines. Like, this is incredible. This new album,
they're cool.
Yeah,
they're cool.
They've always been cool, but you know, when you don't have a connection, and then suddenly it's like, boom, there it is. Even though it's this far down the line.
Well, people are rediscovering acts in such a cool way, like, you know, indie acts that were kind of doing big things 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years ago, and now they're coming back, and it's like they never left, and they're being embraced in such a great way. I mean, Two Door Cinema Club's another example. You know, they're probably bigger now than they've ever been in their career, and it's great. I love it.
Well, it's what you do. It's you're bringing these people back. So thanks, mate.
Pleasure.
What point in the year do you lose your shit and be like, I never want to see a festival ever again in my whole life?
Christmas. It's so weird. Christmas and New Year. For me, that's the hardest time of year because that's when we're negotiating all the
new
deals.
So
everyone's like, oh, it must be really nice at Christmas. You have time off. I had an argument with a manager on Christmas Eve. I was at my mum's house. I didn't have a signal, so I had to walk down the road.
Oh, no. And your mum's like shouting after you, like, turkey sandwich, darling.
Exactly, yeah. Do you want some eggnog, dear? I'm like... Do the deal now.
Yeah, and you're like telling him to F off, and she's like, darling, language.
I don't ever tell anyone to F off.
Oh, why not?
Because I'm way too nice.
Oh, okay, that's good. No, it's good to be nice. It's good to be nice. Yeah. Well, massive good luck this year.
Thank you.
I'm really excited
for
it. And all you've got so many... I mean, what else have you got going on that you can let us know about?
We've got Queens of the Stone Age playing in Finsbury Park the day before. That, if you're a music fan, is going to be absolutely seminal. Queens of the Stone Age, Iggy Pop,
whoa,
Run the Jewels, The Hives, Brodie Daly. I mean... It's a lineup from heaven, and we've got a few tickets left for that. So,
oh, I thought it was sold out. So that's wonderful.
No, everyone thinks it is. We've got like literally, I think, about 1,000 tickets left. So, if you want to come to that, you've got to move quick. But yeah, community's mad value. Great bands. There's this band called Pale Waves, by the way, which you guys, you know, have to check out.
I feel like we've had Pale Waves on the show.
Cool.
I think we've had them on the show. Have we had Pale Waves on the show? Yes, we have.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I love them.
They are so sweet. They're such sweet people. And they're going to be like smashing out arenas in 18 months, 2 years.
Sick.
Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch.
And are you working on Reading Leeds as well again this year?
Yeah, every year. Yeah. Come down. Come check it out.
Oh, Foo Bar are coming. We're coming and we're
nice.
Doing some backstage stuff. So we'll come find you. I'll bring
Perfect.
You a beer.
I'll need one.
Thank you so much, John.
Thanks a lot for your time.
It's been lovely to have you in. We're going to play a little bit of Rat Boy now. If you want to go and actually experience this live, you need to do this. Go to Community Festival. Get it in your diaries, 1st of July 2018. Listen, July's a great month. Kick it off with this festival. www.communityfestival.london. £40, like... You spend £40 on like a coffee with almond milk, so just do it, okay?
It's a big coffee, but you don't need it.
It's a really big almond-filled coffee. This is Be My Anime, Rat Boy. See you later.
Busted knuckles attached to the sovereigns. Right from the start, I was born to be a problem. Lost cause, but cause wrong direction. I'm hollow inside from all of the rejection.
And all I know is I've got to say, drinking down my memory lane. All these people let us say, inside of my blood I'm praying. When the cost of the loss is more than a game, and it's all fucked up and I feel insane. You might be my enemy, or you could be my anime.
Chilling with Harriet Rose. This is FUBAR Radio. What's good?
You can pretend you don't miss me. You can pretend you don't care. All you wanna do is kiss me. What a shame I'm not there. You can pretend you don't miss me. You can pretend you don't care. All you wanna do is kiss me. What a shame I'm not there. What is it you want? You can lie, but I know that you're not. It's all about me, but you swear I'm not on your mind. You can pretend you don't miss me. You can pretend you don't care. All you wanna do is kiss me. Oh, what a shame I'm not there. Everybody knows you and I are suicide and stolen art. Stitches into all your bitches' broken hearts. You can pretend you don't miss me. You can pretend you don't care. All you wanna do is kiss. guess being lonely fits me. And you were made for begging to stay.
Fubar Radio presents
Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
If you knew that there was an alien ship about to land,
yeah,
are you worried?
They'd have like new bacteria that we wouldn't be able to handle and wipe out.
But maybe they won't be able to handle our bacteria and it'll wipe them out.
Oh.
Okay, what if they landed in America and you know Trump's going to be the first one to greet them?
Oh no. What do you think he would do? Grab their pussy. Sorry, it's weird saying that.
That might be the way they greet each other. Like, that could be normal. Greetings. And they grab it. That's not a pussy.
Stop saying that word. I shouldn't have said that word. Don't say it's weird.
Every Tuesday, Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
From 12 PM.
FUBAR Radio. Welcome back. We're on FUBAR Radio. And I am joined by Rainbow, who is... You're the new ambassador for Tia Maria.
Yes. Well, it's been just on a year now, so...
That's fresh.
Yeah.
How's it been going?
Good. Obviously, coffee culture... in the UK is booming, so everyone's loving themselves a bit of coffee cocktails.
So Tia Maria, right, is because when I was younger, Tia Maria was like a real thing, mm-hmm. and then it's made a sort of real comeback. There's a lot of comeback drinks, like the Aperol Spritz.
Oh yeah,
Tia Maria's involved. Tell me about how that sort of happened and what was your sort of side of it in terms of the comeback. Did you come in as it was coming back, or have you sort of been in it while it's been on the comeback?
So my own thing with this is that all drinks come in waves. So mm-hmm. you see like a lot of the retro style drinks like ports and sherries and like you said Aperol Spritzes are all coming around now. Mm-hmm. Super, super popular in the 80s. Then they die off a little bit and then they come back. So Tia Maria is part of that. And we're now seeing it come in now. So the drinks retro return has already started. But it's now time for Tia Maria, if you get what I mean.
Oh, no, I get it.
Yeah.
Also, we all love a bit of 80s. Like, I want to involve the 80s snacks as well.
Oh, disco drinks are my favourite.
Oh, tell me about what are disco drinks?
So there's, like, you know, things like you see and they're, like, either brightly coloured or they're blended. Like, blended drinks are my favourite. And they were out of fashion for so long because people are like, oh, I'm going to do, like, a stirred down, like, Mad Men-style drink.
Yeah.
And they kind of disappeared. And now with this whole retros are coming back and everyone's having a lot more fun again, there's like a blended drink called a Dirty Banana. It's like a Jamaican Ooh. Beach cocktail. So obviously Jamaican beach cocktail, rum, coconut, like Coco Lopez, so syrups, banana, Tia Maria in a blender. And it's like one of those drinks you drink it and you can just see yourself like... Sun's out today, sun's out, oh, beach.
Yum.
Deliciousness.
Also, in the UK, especially in London, people are obsessed with espresso martinis, and you can make a pretty good espresso martini with Tia Maria, right?
Oh, yeah. So Tia Maria was actually part of the original recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So it's one of the founding figures.
One of the founding figures.
Now, that's really kicked off. Like, I know a lot of people that drink... It's like when you were 13... No, too young. 17, or however old it is when you should drink. I was definitely 13.
I had a
vodka Red Bull, because you were like, oh, let's get the... But now it's like, oh, I'm suave. I'm going to have an espresso martini.
Yeah, I was going to say, I owned my first cocktail shaker when I was 15. So,
good girl, get in there.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those beautiful drinks where you can stand there and look really elegant, mm-hmm. but you're getting like really hyperactive and
foamy. I love the foam.
A crema, as we
crema
as with coffee. So like it's such an easy drink to make, and I find it's one of those ones where like one of the training sessions I do is teaching like people, not just bartenders but everyone, how to make espresso martinis.
Tell me how.
Well.
Should we make one?
Yeah, do we want to make one?
Should we make it. Let's just.
I was going to say it's a.
F the rules, babe. We'll just do it whenever
it's
we
Thursday.
Want.
I was like, it's Friday. No, it's not. It's Thursday.
No. So in this studio, in my show, it's Friday.
All
Thursday
day,
is
day.
The new Friday.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Friday doesn't exist. It just goes straight to Saturday tomorrow.
Yeah.
Doesn't really, but
Friday,
in my mind.
Friday, Saturday?
No, Saturday, Saturday. So it goes Thursday, Saturday, Saturday. So don't worry about today. Because
shouldn't
it's
it be Wednesday, Friday, Saturday?
Oh, no.
Saturday?
We're going to have to rewrite the whole calendar now, aren't we? But don't worry. We're going to have an espresso martini. Because if anything, that's going to wake us up.
Exactly. It's going to get us back on track.
Well, in fact, I'll have one for breakfast. So let's talk it through. What's the first most important thing? Look at your fresh. You've got some really like cute looking metal stuff,
isn't it? We've just got it. So Tia Maria has just got their own new bar kit. So all in gun metal, very sexy.
Oh my god,
very seductive.
That's what. See, look, I didn't even know it was Tia Maria's, and I thought it was sexy. Like that's not even planned, man. That just happened.
So there's loads of different recipes for espresso martinis, from the original straight up to anyone and everyone who's got one today. I always found that the easiest recipe to follow is equal parts.
Right.
So some people will do like more vodka, but then they put a little bit of sugar in it to like balance it out a bit. I might keep it equal parts. It also makes it really, really easy if you want to batch like 3 liters, because it's just a liter of each ingredient.
Sorry, batch 3 liters of espresso martini. How drunk are we getting right now?
I mean, I've got a few bottles. But, well, for me, we do a lot of events, especially like tonight we've got Cocktails in the City, which is a cocktail event in London.
Wonderful.
And we're planning to make about 150 espresso martinis, so.
Ow, to your hands.
Yeah.
Don't tire yourself out.
The most I've ever done in one event was 200.
That's
by
horrible.
Myself.
That's horrible.
It's good for the, it's like exercise, a silver lining. It's exercise without having to actually go to the gym.
And also for your wrists. You must have strength.
It's.
What upper body.
What are these?
Traps?
Things?
I don't
Traps?
Know.
I don't know.
Arms?
Arm parts.
Arm parts. My arm parts are really muscular because of all the shaking.
So, back to this espresso martini. We've got our vodka.
Vody.
Whenever you're making or choosing your ingredients, make sure you pick something for your drink. So, we're using Reykja vodka today. It's Icelandic. Super clean, super crisp.
I've tasted it. It's yum.
It's delicious.
Not on it, obviously not on its own. I had it with something else.
Squeeze a lime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me sound cooler anyway, so I'll say that.
So I'm going to make a couple here. So
yeah, you crack on. So what's going in? Right, so we've got the mini, we've got a small cocktail shaker and a big one. We're putting a big dollop of, I call it a big dollop. I think it's a double shot in the new Tia Maria gunmetal measuring thing.
Jigger.
Yep.
It's actually called a jigger.
Is it?
Yeah. Teaching every day.
I really, because when you said that, I was like, I really expected you to know the real word, and actually it was the real word. So that's, is that 3 shots in there?
So I'm doing 35 mil of each ingredient, but I'm making 2, so we're putting 70.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's get our rocks off. So up next, we've had the, is it pronounced Reykja?
Reykja.
Reykja vodka. And it's Icelandic and very pure, like it's small batch, so it's like very soft, isn't it? Quite soft to drink.
Oh, yeah. Like I would put that as a martini over some ice, squeeze a lime.
Squeeze that lime.
Or cherry tomatoes. Surprisingly, really delicious in there.
That's super weird, but I'm into it. I love tomatoes.
I'm going to put the coffee in next. What coffee you use is what coffee you like. So if you go for something like a Brazilian coffee, super chocolatey, super like hazelnut notes, we're doing a special one today. Like I said before, we're doing Cocktails in the City tonight. And our drink of the night is a peanut cinnamon espresso martini.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even get my head around all the ingredients there. Peanut,
cinnamon
espresso martini. Oh, that sounds yum.
So
also, sounds like it could be like a protein shake. If anything, you'll go to the gym and then go to this and coffee in the city and you can have your protein shake.
I always love activewear espresso martini.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do a lot of people come to coffee in the city in activewear?
Cocktails in the City. I don't know. I want to, though. I did it last year when we did the Tia Maria stand. I was like, you know what? Caffeine helps you exercise, so I'm going to turn up in activewear.
Good girl.
But we're going to do same measure, so that was
70 cilliliters.
Yeah.
Woo! Milliliters. Oh god, I see. I was
or 70 cl.
In my head I said cl. So what is that cold brew coffee that you've done at home? Yeah, you guys are so prepared. Tia Maria really rocks this. Like, people, Rainbow knows what she's doing.
People love espresso martinis so much.
I think people are mouthwatering listening to this at home.
Yeah. Well, they'll have to drop by Cocktails and City and come and see.
So how can they do that? Can they buy? Can they get tickets online?
Yeah, go online, look up Cocktails in the City. We're running Thursday, Friday, Saturday from 6 p.m. till 11.
So over the next 3 days, you're going to make, is it 450 espresso martinis?
Oh, no. So we're doing 150 tonight. Tomorrow, we're expecting 200. And on Saturday, 250.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we've got other drinks as well.
Yeah, but the shaking levels... Can you hear that nice glug, glug, glug of the Tia Maria?
Insane. Fresh bottle.
Now, I'm excited to try this because Tia Maria, as you say, it's a vintage, but vintage in a cool way, yeah, drink that's taking a resurfacing. And I don't think people know enough about Tia Maria. So can you tell us a little bit about the history of the drink and where it sort of came from? Because I think people need to know, because I definitely don't know. I want to learn more.
So it's quite, we're very... multicultural. Tia Maria is a Spanish name, originally from Jamaica and owned by Italians.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, the original, like, what we know Tia Maria is how it got released was by a man called Dr. Kenneth Lee Evans.
Always the doctors pumping the alcohol. Doctors.
Well, he was a microbiologist, but as his hobby, he used to make, like, little syrups and tinctures in his lab and take them home and have cocktail parties.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Like, this is pretty cool. It's like 1947. Oh, 1940.
That was the time to really drink. Was that when it was illegal as well to drink?
Not in
Jamaica. Prohibition. Oh, no. But you know that time when it was sort of like naughty to drink? That's when I want. I mean, it's just like whatever now.
Yeah. Now everyone's just like, oh, yeah, Thursday, Friday afternoon.
But that's why you need to make exciting drinks like this, because it brings another element so that you're not just going for a pint, you know, you're going to have something different. And I think a lot of people will be surprised to know that Tia Maria is the original element of this drink as well, because you don't naturally associate it with it, but actually it makes you realise what the flavour is and where to relate it to.
Yeah, well, this is, Tia Maria has sort of been, because it has been around for quite some time, people kind of like, it always goes to the back of their mind, but then when they see it and they go, oh, I remember that, it's like nostalgic, and they go, and then they taste it again and they're like, oh, I remember, I really like this drink. So we're seeing a lot more people coming back and visiting it because they've forgotten what it tastes like. They taste it again and then they have cocktails with it. They're just like, oh, this is, let's put this in,
yeah,
this drink or this drink. So
I feel like it would be a good shot, yes or no?
Yes. I also like to mix it with Jamaican rum as well, if you
want
to boost
moly.
It up a little bit.
Rainbow, you go in.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's Jamaican rum in Tia Maria. So we have in Tia Maria.
So it's a real proper match.
Yeah. It works perfectly. Like I said, it's from Jamaica originally. Dr. Kenneth Lee Evans actually got the idea and the recipe from a family friend who had said that the recipe was passed down through her generations of her family. So this was some, you know, family-style, like, secret recipe. The original creator was actually a woman in the 17th century called Tia Maria, or Auntie Mary. Wrote down the recipe.
I didn't know Tia Maria meant Auntie Mary.
Yeah.
That learning. That's what we're doing today. Yeah. And also drinking. Please carry on. Don't let me stop you. I feel like I'm distracting you. So we've just put 70 syllables of
Tia Maria. So Tia Maria, rum-based, other flavour notes in there obviously are our coffee and our vanilla. One of the most brilliant things about Tia Maria is the coffee that they use is Brazilian coffee. What this means is it tastes kind of chocolatey and kind of like brown sugar and hazelnut. So we pick a specific coffee to make our Tia Maria taste like Tia Maria.
Oh.
So we've got Tia in there, Reika vodka, and our peanut cinnamon coffee.
Oh, it's peanut cinnamon coffee as well. Oh my God, yes. Okay, great.
So this is the thing. This
when you said
is...
that, I thought I wasn't going to be able to try it, but now I'm here in the studio live.
No. I was going to say, what you can do to make this a classic espresso martini is just put like normal espresso in it.
Okay.
But because it's a bit special and I happen to have some, I thought I'd make you...
No, that's wonderful. It's great news. And so you've got Coffee Cocktail Month as well, which is something that Tia Maria are doing. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what you're working on?
Yeah, as of 1st of April, Tia Maria is hosting our own little Coffee Cocktail Month.
Those little sounds, by the way, are real life sounds of cocktails being made in the studio.
I'm trying to be quite discreet doing it under
you
the table.
You don't
to
need
make
to be
it.
Discreet. I want to show off. So please don't worry. You rock that ice around because I'm wanting to get my mitts around one of those. Sorry, carry on. So
Coffee Cocktail Month. We've got 350 venues across the UK who are all doing...
Please tell me you're not doing all of them. I feel like your arm's going to like fall off.
I mean, I'm going to visit quite a few of them, also because there are some delicious ones. In not only with the 350 venues across the UK, we've teamed up with Drink Up London. So if you go onto their website, look out for the little coffee project signs. And we've got venues all across, like bars and restaurants across London, who are doing coffee cocktails.
Wow.
So we've got ones like the Gibson, Scout, Every Cloud over in Hackney, all super, super delicious drinks.
Right, let's do a shake. Are you going to need to shake it now?
I was going to say, I'm going to shake for a little bit.
Yeah, shake away. I'm excited to... Oh, look, pop it right in. This is very exciting. So that's the sound of my Thursday afternoon. Oh, she's really doing it. Yes, Rainbow. You've got the strength in your arms. I used to be a cocktail waitress, right? And I never in my life did it like that. That's why I failed. You've got a real technique there. And it's like a maraca shake, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually, a lot of my colleagues and friends find it quite funny the way I shake. It's very rhythmic.
Oh, the rhythm is a dancer. Like you, it was evident. But also I think with Tia Maria, with its heritage and all the different, you know, cultures that it comes from, I think the rhythm needs to be inside this, you know? Oh my God, they look wonderful. So Rainbow's just pouring them into some sort of, they're like, you know, the great Gatsby champagne glasses that you always see when you have an espresso martini.
So the only thing, though, is using this coffee, you don't get the crema like we do what we're talking about before, that foam on top.
But that's all I mean, is that little bit is great.
But what we do instead, because you can't float a coffee bean on top, what we're going to do is serve it with a chocolate chip cookie.
Shut up.
Homemade chocolate chip cookies might be me by this afternoon. I'll try and balance them.
You made these?
Yeah. I'm going to balance them in the middle because... they're like little bite-sized cookies, and I feel like they're going to dunk in.
Dude, you're an angel. Look at them.
Yeah.
It's the camera got... have we seen? Can we see it? So, guys, we'll probably be posting... yeah, let's drink it now. We'll be posting some pickies so that you can have a look. This is exciting. Okay, this is Rainbow's homemade cookies. You made these actually at home?
Yeah, I made 300 of them this morning.
Whoa! You are really committed to the flavour sensation. Okay, should I drink first or eat the cookie first?
Drink first, cookie eat. So then you can taste the cocktail as it is and then have a bit of a sweet treat.
Oh, it smells amazing. Holy shit, that's really good. Okay, so it tastes like... it tastes a lot lighter than any other espresso martini I've ever had in a really good way. Like, it slides down your throat like nobody's business. Because I feel like what you were saying about... stop laughing, girls. because they're so dirty. It's disgusting. They're making dirty things out of what I say. Anyway, slides down my throat like nobody's business because I don't think that people in some bars do the thing where you say they match the coffee for what they're putting the ingredients in.
Oh, it's... the world of coffee is huge. Like, I could talk about days and days and days.
These cookies are amazing.
Yeah.
Do you want to come and live at my house?
Just bake your cookies.
No, I'm seriously. Honestly.
I've been making these since I was about 14. As in, like, I have had this recipe.
What came first, the cocktails or the cookies?
Ooh, hand in hand. Yeah.
So you were making cocktails at 14. I really admire that.
Oh, yeah, my parents brought me up well.
My cocktails were like Ribena and vodka, or Ribena and Bacardi Breezer, definitely not to this level.
I mean, we always say drink responsibly, but I did have a cocktail party for my 15th, which is why my parents bought me a cocktail shaker.
You are amazing.
I also grew up in Australia, so...
yeah, but also I think it's very important to drink responsibly, but also I think it's a positive thing when parents supervise the sort of early stages of drinking, because if you do it alone, you can quite easily do it wrong.
Well, that's what my dad always said was, if you know what to drink and the way to drink it, then it's going to be better for you. But also why we used to always have a bottle of Tia Maria at the house.
Well, also, it's quite a chill drink. It's definitely not something you're like, I'm going to get fucked up on Tia Maria. It's like, I'm going to have a really nice drink of Tia Maria.
Yeah, enjoy it.
So do a lot of people drink it just over ice?
Yeah, I always say over ice cream.
When you said ice cream, this tasted like ice cream. You know when someone puts it... It's got a weird, like, fantastic aftertaste. That's like, Nat is looking at me like, my producer is like daggering through the window, like, give me some, you do not drink all of that.
I've got more, it's okay.
Yeah, she's relaxing now because she said we can carry on. Yeah, it's like it's the Tia Maria, and I'm remembering what Tia Maria tastes like.
A lot of my job is changing people's perceptions because they sort of had this idea in their head of like, oh, I think I remember that, and it's like, well, why don't you try it again, or why don't you try it with this coffee or this coffee? It's as simple as changing out.
Oh God, it's really,
a little
really
ingredient
nice
here or there. Yeah, and you can make it to what you want, like. One of our other really good drinks, well, I say ours, is it? It's my personal cult favourite, sort of like my little gorilla drink I make for everyone wherever mm-hmm. I go, and it's going to be at Cocktails in the City tonight, is the tea and tonic.
What?
Yes.
Tell me more about this.
I actually borrowed the idea from a barista friend of mine who's a competition barista, and he'd come sort of, I think he came first or second last year with a drink that was espresso, honey, tonic and grapefruit.
Ah, so you got the idea because of the coffee elements of Tia Maria.
Yeah, and I went, oh, if you're using espresso and honey, I can use Tia Maria because it has
that
a
is
similar,
basically what it is. Yeah,
yeah. And really simple drink. It's like a highball, so big tall glass, fill it with ice. About, I go to a 2-to-1 recipe, so 100 ml of tonic, 50 ml tea on top, and a zest of lemon.
That's a serious amount of, like, 2-to-1 on a tonic based cocktail is awesome.
Yeah.
Also, I think I just want to dispel something. I don't know whether it's just my stupidity, but Tia Maria is not creamy to look at, and I feel like in my mind I always thought it was, but I feel like other people maybe do. Tia Maria is not creamy to look at, so it's not that weird thing where you go, oh, why are you putting cream with tonic? It's like, it's actually like a dark brown sort of liqueur liquid.
All that's in it is coffee, rum and vanilla.
Oh, it's yum.
So it is literally, it's so
but
simple.
But nobody, I bet nobody thinks of it as a rum drink.
Nobody thinks of it as a rum drink, and not many people know that the coffee we use is cold brew.
Oh, I think that's why this tastes so much better.
Yeah.
Because I find that if you go to some places, they'll make you a hot espresso and then pour it in, and it melts the ice, which means a lot of water goes in the cocktail.
Oh, no. I mean, like, Tia Maria itself.
Oh, really?
So when we make Tia Maria, we roast the beans. This is over in Italy. Roast the beans, and then they extract for, like, 2 to 3 weeks in, like a neutral grain hydroalcoholic solution. So for, like, that, it makes it really soft, smooth, delicious coffee flavours without any of that harshness.
Wow.
So that's why it's so smooth when you drink it. You're just like, oh, this is, like, I can taste the coffee. It tastes kind of like chocolate.
But that's why I like cold brew. Cold brew's chill. It's enjoyable. I've just realised what the time is. We've got to finish in a little minute. This has been so lovely. I'm so pleased to learn so much about Tia Maria.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, you can check out Drink Up London. We've got our whole coffee cocktail month this month. If you can find me on Instagram, I'm going to be putting up a drink every single day with a recipe.
So what's your Instagram handle?
Madam Rainbow, but Madam without an E because I'm not fancy.
Yeah, okay, perfect. So everyone go over there. I'm going to definitely come and find some cocktails. And before you go, is there anything you can tell us about what to me... I've had too much cocktail.
You've had
Tia Maria is up to over the next year that we need to know other than what you've mentioned already.
Just keep your eyes out. Keep your eyes out on Tia Maria Drink, on my Instagram as well. Every event we do, every pop-up, obviously, like I've been talking about a lot because it's on my mind because I'm going to go there tonight, but Cocktails in the City, we run them across the UK. So you can generally find me at any of those events. I can either teach you how to make an espresso martini or you can drop in for one of these, Tia and Tonic or the Popcorn Frappe.
I'm being serious. You need to have some of this girl's cocktail because it's unreal. Unreal. Well, I really appreciate you coming in. It's been a total joy. I'm a bit drunk now, but in a very responsible and good way. So we can catch you. Make sure you go and check out. Also, you can find Tia Maria at Tia Maria Drink and hashtag the Tia Maria Coffee Project to find more about that. We've learned a lot of tips about serving the perfect cocktail too.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something you can make at home. Like, don't be scared of, like, making drinks at home. That's how I learnt. So
I think it's very important to make drinks at home. You save a bit of money. Get a bottle of Tia Maria in there.
Get a bottle of Tia Maria. Go hit up my Instagram and I'll teach you some cocktails.
Also, it's a staple. So, you know, you can have a light drink with a tonic or you can go deep with an espresso martini. But also, I think we need that recipe for the whatever you did with the cinnamon and...
peanut butter.
Oh, like, we need that in our lives as well.
Well, I was going to say, keep your eyes out, because it'll hopefully be next week.
Oh, Rainbow, thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
I'm a newfound fan of Tia Maria.
Amazing.
Yay. Thank you guys for listening. This has been FUBAR Radio with me, Harriet Rose. I'm going to finish off the show with King Princess. This is 1950. We'll see you next week, same time, same place. Bye.
I hate it when dudes try to chase me, but I love it when you try to save me, cause I'm just a lady. I love it when we play 1950. It's so cold that your stare's about to kill me. I'm surprised when you kiss me. So tell me why my guys look like you, and tell me why it's wrong. Away from you, I pray I will keep on waiting for your love. For you, I wait, I will keep on waiting for you. Did you mean when he said I was pretty, that you didn't want to live in a city where the people are shitty? I like it when we play 1950. So bold, make him know that you're with me. Stone cold, will you miss me? So tell me why my guys look like you, and tell me why it's wrong. So away from you, I pray I will keep on waiting for your love. To save me, cause I'm just a lady. So tell me why my guys look like you, and tell me why it's wrong.